Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, on Tuesday, November the 8th. And welcome to our commentary. It's Election Day in the United States today. And millions of people are voting as I speak to you right now. Of course, they're going to be voting in different time zones. So we will know something about the election about 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock Eastern time. And then, you know, the numbers will start coming in as the ballots and the different places are closing. And by midnight tonight, we'll have a pretty good feeling of what's going on in every time zone in the country. And there are some interesting elections, not just in the East or the central part of the country, but there's a very interesting senatorial election up in the state of Washington that everybody's going to be looking at. And then, of course, there is a governor's race in the state of Oregon that people will be looking at. So it's going to be, you know, for people who follow politics, it's going to be a long night, as it usually is. And then there are always very tight elections that will probably go on for a few hours today. So we'll keep an eye on it. We'll keep an eye on it and give you some sense of what happened on Tuesday when we do our Wednesday video. But just like we did on Monday, today we're going to go back and remember some elections from the past, elections that were consequential for the country. But before we do, I have a post over at the American Thinker today on Tuesday morning, and the post is about Beto O'Rourke, who is, of course, the Democrat candidate for governor here in Texas. And the title of my post is Bye Bye Beto, Beto Goodbye. And that's because I think this is it for Beto O'Rourke, at least for a while. You know, you never say never in politics, but it's hard to see Beto O'Rourke running for a state office or a national office anytime soon. Now, he's a young man. He can always come back at a later date. But for the time being, I think that Beto O'Rourke has had it with politics, that it has not been good for him. And this is going to be his third consecutive defeat, 2018, 2020, and now 2022. And I just don't see him as a political figure anytime in the near future. Now, he could go back to El Paso, Texas, and you never know. He could run for mayor of El Paso, Texas. He could at some point run for Congress again and represent that part of the state. But as far as a national office, senator, president, of course, or a state office like a governor, I just don't see it. I really don't see it. I think he's done as far as I'm concerned. And part of the problem, I think, with Beto and one of the big mistakes that he made in 2018 was his arrogance and the idea that he really thought that he could defeat somebody like Governor Abbott in 2022. So he made two big mistakes. One, thinking that he could defeat Governor Abbott, who's a fairly popular governor, and to do so in a year like 2022 when you have a big Republican wave. I mean, this was the worst time in the world for anybody to run against Governor Abbott, but he tried it, and he's going to fail miserably today. So we wish him well. We wish him well. But I just don't think we're going to be seeing Beto running for anything in quite some time. So I think this is it for him, as I said, for some time. Let's look back at some elections on this election day as we wait for the numbers to come in, as we wait for the results to come in. Let's go back and remember some election days from the past. It was on this day in 1864 that President Lincoln was reelected. Now, for those of you who remember your U.S. history class, President Lincoln's reelection was not certain. In fact, there were many people, including President Lincoln himself, who didn't think he would be reelected. And I'm talking about during the summer of 1864. And that was because the war was going so poorly and things were going so bad. The war was so unpopular that many people did not think that President Lincoln would be reelected. But things really began to change in late summer and during the fall as you know, the Union troops really began to win the war. And of course, what happened in Atlanta was one of the big factors of that Civil War. If you remember Atlanta, just watch that movie Gone with the Wind, you know, when they're burning the city of Atlanta. Well, that's, in a sense, broke the back of the South, and all of a sudden people in the North began to feel better about the war and began to feel like the war was finally going to come to an end. And that was when his chances began to improve. And he was reelected on this day in 1864. You know, sometimes people speculate, and we'll do that as well. But what if he had never been reelected? What would have been the future of the country? You never know. You never know. But clearly, he was a lot more committed to preserving the Union than some of the other candidates. So who knows? Who knows what would have happened? But what did happen was that Abraham Lincoln was reelected, and that took some big steps in the direction of, you know, preserving the Union and putting the country back together. Unfortunately, of course, he was assassinated in April of the following year, and that was another chapter in American history. On this day in 1960, Senator John Kennedy, was elected to the presidency. And that was also a very controversial election. Let me say hello to my friend Diane. That was also a very controversial election. That election went on pretty late into the night, and it wasn't until the next morning that, it was declared that Kennedy had won the election. Of course, there were big disputes that year in the votes that were counted in Illinois and Texas and a few other places. And even though Richard Nixon, Vice President Nixon, conceded results for a long time, and even as of today, there are many people who still have questions about what happened on this day in 1960 and whether or not really John Kennedy defeated Richard Nixon. It was a very close election, extremely close election. If you look at the numbers, 77 million people voted, popular vote, and they were separated by 113,000 votes. So, I mean, the numbers are staggering how close that is. And then when you move over to the Electoral College, it was a little bit bigger there, but it was only 301 that made President Kennedy or Senator Kennedy president of the United States. So that was a very tough election campaign, a very tough election. And really, the country owes Richard Nixon a great deal for having conceded the results rather than challenge the results, because there were many people, including President Eisenhower, who wanted Nixon to challenge the results because they didn't think he had, in fact, lost the election. But, you know, Nixon decided to concede. Kennedy became president, and we know the rest of the story. On this day in 1960, Senator Kennedy becomes President-elect Kennedy. And a little bit closer to the present, in 1994, and this is one that I remember quite well, in 1994, the Republicans took over the House and the Senate. And that was the famous Gingrich Revolution, where Newt Gingrich, who was a representative from Georgia, put together this amazing coalition and this amazing group of Republican congressmen and senators, and they took over the Congress and the Senate. It was an amazing night, something like 60 seats in the Congress, something like 8 or 9 seats in the Senate. I mean, it was just a remarkable night for the Republicans, and it put the Republicans back in the majority for the first time in 40 years in the House. They had been in the majority in the Senate a couple of times under Eisenhower and under Reagan. But the reality is that it was on this day in 1994 that the Republicans were able to come together and in essence become the party that we know today. This party that we now identify as the Republican Party really became a much more conservative party that night in 1994 when Newt Gingrich led a campaign to take over the House and to take over the Congress. Now, maybe the same thing is going to happen today. I don't know. We saw in 2010 how the Republicans took over the House, and then we saw in 2014 how they took over the Senate. But today, hopefully, we will see it together. I'm pretty confident about the House. I'm confident about the Senate, but those are going to be, at least as of right now, tougher elections to predict because they, you know, the polling data is too close to call, although there are some pollsters who are declaring that the Republicans will win the Senate. We will wait. We will wait until Tuesday night, and we will be back on the video on Wednesday with some sense of what happened, some analysis of what happened. And I feel confident about the election today, but, you know, right now it's in the hands of the voters, and they're the ones who are going to tell us what they want. And I think I know what they want, but I'm going to let them tell you, and then we'll talk about it on Wednesday when we get together. Again, my thanks to my friend Diane for some good comments there on the right-hand side, and thank you to all of you for listening and watching. Have a great election day, and if you have not voted, you still have time. You still have them to vote, so get out there and vote. Don't let this opportunity pass you by. Voting is essential to our way of system, our system and our way of life, so you got to vote. And if you haven't, you got time. You got time. You know, put on your, you know, get all dressed up and go vote, because you have you've got time to do it. Thank you for listening. Have a wonderful day, and we'll talk to you later.